you will hear a conversation between a student and a job hunting agent. First look at questions 1 to 10. Now we shall begin. You should answer questions as you listen because you will not hear the recording a second time. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 10. Section 1.
Good morning. May I help you?
Oh, good morning. Is this the Student Job Center?
Oh, yes.
I was wondering if perhaps you could tell me a bit about the job. You know, the hotel recruitment program that offers a range of work at the hotels in the area.
Of course. Take a seat, please. I'll take you through some of what we have on offer.
Thank you so much. Oh, wait a second and I'll get my pen.
Okay. The first job is reception assistant at the Parkview Hotel. The Parkview Hotel has quite an international flavor, so you'll need to speak at least 2 foreign languages.
Sure. I can speak fluent French and Spanish, so that's no problem.
Good. And many guests, of course, travel by car, and you may have to take their vehicles around to the car park, so you will need to have a valid driving license. And you will not be allowed to do the job if you haven't.
Okay, I got that.
Right. And they also say that basic computer skills, such as word processing, would be an advantage, although this isn't a requirement.
Well, I just got my computer skills certificate, so I have no worries about that.
This is quite a varied job. And in fact, I should point out that at certain times of the day, it would involve heavy lifting, when guest luggage arrives, or perhaps deliveries come in. Is that okay for you?
Well, it's hard to say at this moment, but I'll bear that in mind when deciding whether to apply for this post.
Sure. Another job is general assistant at the Lakeside Hotel. To be honest, the pay is rather low, but there are compensatory factors. For example, the hotel will provide you with all your meals while you're working, and they will also train you in all the aspects of the job and then issue you with a certificate, which, of course, could be very valuable to you in the future.
Oh, that sounds great.
Now, the third job on offer is catering assistant at Hotel 98's Smart New Premises. As you know, this hotel is popular with exclusive travelers, and so you'll need to wear the distinctive staff uniform which you're provided with. Don't consider this job unless you're fairly flexible about when you work, as the hotel will require you to work nights for this job. And you will need to travel to and from the hotel, as it is situated just outside the city.
Well, I'm afraid I can't manage that because of the lectures.
Okay, I get the picture. So, which one will you prefer? Reception assistant at the Parkview Hotel or general assistant at the Lakeside Hotel?
Well, I guess I still couldn't make up my mind right now. Can I have a few days to think about and go back to you later?
That's no problem, and there are a few things I need to clarify with you. If you would like to apply for one of these jobs, you will need to follow the recruitment process.
Mum.
So the first thing you'll need to do is to fill in one of these, a personal information form. It's pretty straightforward and should only take you a few minutes. Once you've done that and handed it in, we'll give you a questionnaire about your skills. We then look through the information about you and pass on our recommendations to the relevant hotel.
Yes, sure.
You will then proceed to the next step of the process and attend a general course of training. This is designed to be helpful and realistic, so an important part of the course is role-play activities.
That sounds interesting.
Yes, indeed. And after that, the final step is that you will be contacted by the hotel you're going to work for, and they'll post you a video about themselves and the work involved. Watching this will constitute further and specific training for your job.
Oh yes, I think I'm very clear now. Thank you for helping me.
It's a pleasure. Bye.
Bye.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part two.
You will hear a talk about Runwell, a charity that raises money by organising running races. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 17. Now listen to the first part of the talk and answer questions 11 to 17.
I'm very pleased to have this opportunity to tell you something about the Runwell charity and the work we do. I'll give a brief overview of what we do, and I hope you may be able to help, and then there'll be time for questions at the end. Runwell's founder, Mike Hughes, took up long-distance running in 1987, raising money by doing sponsored half marathons, and in 1992 established the charity as we know it today. By 1997, the runs were being filmed by local TV, and today they appear on national TV every year. All the funds collected by Runwell go to the hospital, with the idea that those fit enough to run use their energy to assist the provision of people who are unwell for whatever reason. Now, if you want to race, and I assume that's why many of you are here, let me explain a couple of the basics. Races are run by teams, so you need to form and register a team. What you wear to run in is up to you, and I know some teams come up with some pretty wacky ideas. We have a standard design for your numbers, which we ask you to reproduce. So you make them up according to that standard. We don't want to spend valuable funds on doing that ourselves. Now, the races run as a kind of relay, so while you won't actually compete side by side, we do recommend that you train as a group. This helps to optimise performance and build team spirit. It will also give you a fair idea of how much you need to eat and drink over the race distance. This is clearly essential for an effective performance, so please make sure you come along to the race with sufficient food and drink. Again, we don't spend money on providing that, but you do need to keep yourself going for the 20-kilometre course. The course goes through the town, then out through Highfield Park, concluding in the main square, where the applauding spectators will be ready to greet you. There are many different prizes, including oldest runner, youngest runner, team with the most sponsorship, team with the best costume. That one's donated by Zoom Fashions. The mayor will introduce the Minister for Health, who will hand over each prize to the winners. And then the hospital president will make a short speech.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 18 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 18 to 20.
Okay, that's the big race. But I know there are many people who don't feel they are up to running a 20-kilometer race, but who would nevertheless like to raise money for Run Well. Over the years, we've had experience of many ways of trying to collect money, some very successful, others less so. Now, of course, 20 kilometres is too far for children to run. But there was a sponsored swimming event at the local school last year, and that did very well. People have also tried to organise food-based events, such as selling homemade cakes and bread and so on at the market. And there was a large picnic arranged in Four Bright Gardens, although these events failed to justify the efforts put into them. Though I'm sure they were very tasty. These days, so many people are out at work all day that going from house to collect money isn't very effective. But it is possible to raise useful funds by selling small promotional items, such as badges with the Run Well motif on them. We're currently checking to see if postcards, perhaps showing the race's winners each year, might also be a good idea or not. We do appreciate the efforts that have gone into selling second-hand goods, but to be honest, the returns have not been very high on this. One very dedicated group organised a team quiz recently, which went very well, and it would be good to see more such activities. There's also been talk of a concert, but we'll have to see how plans for that progress. Now, are there any questions at this stage?
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part three.
You will hear two students called Syria and Greg talking about some research on renewable energy. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 23. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 23. Hi, Greg. How did it go with the research on renewable energy? Have you found anything?
Yes, but I think it's about time we exchange our findings and discuss our next move.
You read my mind. Right, I'll start first. Germany is the very first country I dug into in order to find innovative means of creating clean energy because 15% of its national electricity supply comes from renewable sources. I found that apart from the traditional fossil fuel industry, there's a German firm that has initiated a project using kites to generate power.
Really? I've never heard of it before. How does it work?
As a substitution for traditional fossil fuels that release toxic gas into the atmosphere, the power-generating kites can function in any weather, Compared to conventional wind turbines, such kites can produce twice as much energy because the overall power density is proportional to altitude.
Sounds like an efficient way of producing power. Okay, now let me tell you what I have found. There is an American company manufacturing school buses and city buses depending solely on electricity instead of gasoline. The all-electric vehicles can save up to 20 gallons of fuel on a daily basis. This could reduce transport budgets by over $10,000 each year, not to mention maintenance savings.
Wow, impressive! If only there were more of these electric vehicles around.
Well, over the years, South Africa has attached great importance to clean energy. The nation encourages using propane gas, which can either be extracted from natural deposits or be produced organically. It is normally stored in gas canisters as a type of cooking gas. To reduce the number of kitchen accidents, a new type of composite gas canister made of fiber was introduced. It is much safer and less likely to explode, even when engulfed in fire.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 24 to 30. Now, listen and answer questions 24 to 30.
Now, about the survey, do you have any clues as to what kind of interviewees we should include?
How about local companies doing business on clean energy products?
Probably not the best choice of respondents. Remember the last time we asked corporate employees to do the questionnaire? Only about 5% of them were actually willing to participate.
That wouldn't be enough then. It seems we have to drop that idea. Then maybe we can ask the professors and administrative staff here to help us. They could provide their insights and understanding on energy production.
It would be ideal if they would, but I'm afraid most of them are too busy to respond to the list of questions we've prepared. I guess the students here at the university would be more suitable.
You're right, and it is a much bigger sample pool too. Also, I think we should include the locals. Their opinion is key to the promotion of renewable energy here in the town.
But wouldn't it be difficult to collect data? There's no way the two of us could go from door to door to interview all the residents.
There's no need to worry about that. We'll make it telephone interviews. That way, we'll have enough time to get sufficient data.
Good idea. What should we present in our speech?
Due to lack of media coverage, the majority of people actually have a limited understanding on renewable energy. Most of them aren't able to identify various types of renewable sources. So I feel we could start by clarifying what it is and the benefit of it compared to fossil fuels.
That makes sense. We could start with wind energy. For centuries, wind has been used to do work. With the help of windmills, farmers used to pump water from wells or turn large grinding stones to grind wheat or corn. The windmills today generate electricity. The only problem is that it might not be windy all the time, so it is crucial to choose the appropriate site for wind farms.
Well, I think we can also include comparisons between clean energy and traditional energy resources like coal, oil, and natural gas.
Maybe we can look into the prospect of these conventional sources of energy. The rising cost of fossil fuels and the threat of climate change is a concern to many.
Totally. These traditional resources will deplete eventually. Renewable energy currently makes up less than 2% of the world's primary energy supply, and although growing very rapidly, it is not on course to fill the fossil fuel gap.
Nuclear energy is another type of energy we ought to mention. Nuclear power plants can produce dependent power constantly and release far less greenhouse gases than other traditional power plants. But most people feel that this type of energy is unsafe because radiation isn't easily dealt with, especially in nuclear waste and maintenance materials.
What should we end the speech with?
Have you heard about a new type of energy called hydrogen fuel? It is an infinitely renewable fuel that doesn't have detrimental environmental effects. The only problem is that it is so expensive that only wealthy individuals can afford it. But I think overall, the benefits overshadow its high cost.
I think that even though this new type of renewable energy is too expensive to use at the moment, in the long run, its price will go down and become more accessible.
That is the end of part three.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part four.
You will hear a talk on the research of architecture. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Welcome, class, to your very first lecture in this series on architecture, conducted by myself, Dr. Torben Dahl. Today we will be looking into the relationship between climate and architecture, where I will be giving you a critical overview of the main climate influences that shape the design of buildings. Throughout this lecture series, we will be looking at the latest research into climatic design carried out by experts in the field, in addition to case studies and examples drawn from modernist practice, both in cities and rural areas. Now, acid rain is one of the climatic elements with the most devastating effects on our architecture. The chemicals in acid rain can cause paint to peel, corrosion of steel structures such as bridges, and erosion of stone statues. Since the 1970s, our government has been making great effort to reduce the release of these chemicals into the atmosphere, with positive results. Private organizations have also been raising awareness and funds, and recently received a huge donation from the bank. It is interesting to look at the studies that have been carried out into the effects of acid rain at varying altitudes. Research has shown that there are lower levels of acid in the damaging pollutants at higher altitudes, meaning that skyscrapers are much less vulnerable to the negative effects, as they are exposed to acid rain with far lower levels of damaging pollutants. Recently, the ALTA project was founded to carry out further research into acid rain. This project is directed towards studying the effects of acid rain on old, traditional buildings of stone construction that are vulnerable to damage caused by acid rain. Masonry is particularly vulnerable as it is easily corroded and weakened by the acidic chemicals. It is imperative that we protect these buildings as they are valuable examples of our history and culture. Pollution is one of the main sources of concern in the present day. The construction industry contributes considerably as a source of pollution in its day-to-day processes of creating building materials such as concrete and glass. However, more new sustainable methods are being developed to counter this. A recent case study for this is Sky Tower, whose windows have been made from recycled glass to prevent pollution from the glass-making process. Water is the most problematic element to be considered in construction. It is imperative that construction elements, such as the insulation, are fitted into the building in dry weather to prevent it from getting wet. This makes winter an undesirable season for construction, as the heavy rainfall can have adverse effects on the building. Another climate type that has an enormous effect on buildings is humidity. Constructions made of steel and stone are largely unaffected by humidity. However, it can have a serious effect on wooden constructions if the timber has not been correctly treated. Moisture from the air can condense in the grain of the wood, which then swells and shrinks in proportion to the magnitude of change in its moisture content. This variation in size can have disastrous consequences. In areas of the world that are prone to earthquakes, certain design and environmental conditions are preferable for protecting buildings in the event of a tremor. Engineers have come up with numerous building procedures to help minimize shaking in buildings. For example, tall buildings have height restrictions and counterweights, and multi-story buildings have reinforced floors and walls. Ground conditions are a cause for worry in many constructions, as often the soil is of the wrong density to protect the foundations. Luckily, technology has now been developed that can help to minimize damage by earthquakes. Seismic sensors can give prior warning when an earthquake is about to happen, so that preparations can be made to protect both the people and the buildings from harm. The movement of building structures can now also be measured and monitored over time by architects. It has been expressed by architects within the design community that it would be valuable to be given special courses for designing buildings within earthquake zones. Guidelines are also expected to be produced by the government in the near future that will give architects a universal checklist to follow. That wraps up the lecture for today. Please remember that attendance is mandatory.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.